found in the Colorado mountains died yesterday being treated for hypothermia. More from townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio is about to commence.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. It is 5 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock, and I want to say it's Friday, the 6th of January, 2017. Good morning. How's everybody feeling? It's going to be a great day today. Phone lines here are 530-605-4567, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. So where am I at with my weather here, Jared?
Let's see. It's cold. Today, we're going to have a high of 48, a low of 35, with a 50% chance of showers tonight. Tomorrow, we have a high of 46 and a low of 39, with showers all day. On Saturday, we have a high of 56, a low of 39, 100% chance of rain. And on Monday, we have a 80% chance of rain, with a high of 51 and a low of 42.
Well, that's happiness there. So we're today will be a good day to run around, though.
Yeah, if you want to catch it before the rain starts.
That's right. Today's a good day to go down to Haven Humane. The weather's always brought to you. The weather report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, a veteran-owned business right out in Anderson there. They do super work where their customers are warm friends and discounts for seniors and veterans. And give them a call, 365-3793. And speaking of going out to Haven Humane, I have Amy.
Good morning.
And her pet of the week. Now, who is this adorable little guy?
So I brought with me today Spike. Spike is an 18-month-old, I'm going to guess like a Chiweenie. He looks like a Chihuahua and a Wiener Dog mix. So he's adorable. And for those who can't see, he has one ear that stands up and the other one doesn't. He also has an adorable underbite, kind of the face only a mother could love. So you should come be his mother so you can love him.
Okay, he's got one ear out.
Yep, it's one ear stands up, one of them lays down.
And so. One of them lays down. It makes you wonder why that is, but that's cute, though.
It is really cute.
It looks like a movie dog.
So he's a pro approved for a home with children 8 and up, just more respectable, you know, children. Because he's little and easily scared, I'm guessing. So.
Okay.
But he's wearing a cute little coat today. He let me dress him all up. And
what, is that a 49ers?
Yes, it is, yeah.
I understand. It looks like you said somebody came in with a bunch of 49ers sweaters.
Yeah, they did. They donated a bunch of them.
Probably after the season they've had.
Yeah, I told them I wouldn't judge him for his sweater, though.
Okay, whose team?
I'm a Packers fan.
You're
a Packers. Yeah.
Of course. Of course you are.
Hey, Aaron Rodgers is from here, okay?
I know, Chico, but still.
I
knew there was something I liked about you besides all this. But
I thought you were going to say something else.
Yeah. Oh, no. I was raised a Packers fan. Now, since I'm on this coast, if I don't have a Packers, I'm a Raider fan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because they're a scrappy bunch, too.
Yeah, they are. Yes. They're doing really good this season, too.
Yeah, they are. Lost a quarter.
Yeah.
But this little dog has lost a home but needs to find one.
Yes, and he's so sweet. He would make the perfect little lap dog. He really likes to be on your lap.
He's a good looking little dog. He's quiet.
He is. He's very quiet. I have yet to hear him make a noise. So.
Does he lick your face?
A little bit, yeah.
That's okay, but that's all right.
Yeah.
They lick your face. That's cool. Anyway, he's just looking around the room. He's sitting in Amy's lap, happy. And I would say this is a great dog if you're looking for one, if you've got a smaller yard or an apartment or a townhouse or even a house. But he's housebroken.
Yep, it appears to be, and he's a pretty compact little guy, so yeah. I mean, he'll fit anywhere.
Yeah, so he doesn't look like he would shed a lot. So
no.
It doesn't because he's short hair.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how do they find, what's his name?
Spike.
Spike. He's not a Spike.
No.
Okay, he's not a Spike. He's a Grover.
Grover, yeah. It's kind of like naming the
tiny, the
big giant dog's tiny or.
Yeah, he's Grover.
He's Grover.
Yeah, because, he looks like he's thoughtful and happy.
That's a pretty cute name.
And could be, yeah, he could be a Grover.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, how do we get Grover?
You can come by the shelter, 7449 East Side Road. It's in between Anderson and Redding right there by the casino. You can call us, 241-1653. We do have adoptable pets at PetSmart today. He will not be one of those, however. He will be at the shelter today. So if anybody's interested in coming by and seeing him, come fill out an application and take home a new friend.
Well, I tell you what, Haven Humane has done a wonderful job this year in saving pets.
We have, actually.
In saving the animals.
Since November, we made a goal of 250 animals home for the holidays from November to, you know, the last day of December. And that goal we busted because we ended up having 330 animals leave the shelter since the 1st of November. So
and
it's been an honor to have everybody come out and show support and put all these little cute little boys and girls into good forever homes.
That's right. And, you know, you all are working to become a no-kill.
Right.
So, yeah. And I think that's great. And it does, and even though the date was somewhere but like 2020?
2020.
But it doesn't mean you can't do it quicker.
Right, exactly.
All right. Okay, everybody, this is a great dog. Amy, you're a great person.
Well, thank you.
Did you have a nice New Year's?
I did. Actually, New Year's was my birthday, so I did.
Well, happy birthday.
Well,
what are you, 22 now?
No. I'm 29 for the first time. Next year, I'll be 29 as well. And then a few years after that, as long as I can get away with it.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot. And hey, everybody, go down and look at Grover Spike.
Grover Spike.
And I'm sure you're going to like this dog. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have a good weekend.
You bet. You too. Hey, a couple of things going on here. You know what I'm going to do is I'm going to say how much we love our Sleep Number mattress right now, because we really do. And the Linda has, you know, was on, you know, the other day when she wasn't here, she was helping Dr. Doug McConnell in the heart surgery. Today, she's giving a class on high altitude climbing, Jared, and some people are going off to Mount Everest. She's given a class in that about high altitude climbing. This is what she does in her spare time. This is, you know, how to live at 20,000 feet, 15,000 feet and climb. Did you know that?
I had no idea.
You had no idea. Well, you know, I may exaggerate a little bit now and then too, but but I don't exaggerate. It's about Sleep Number. Sleep Number is, you know, it has been the best bed we've ever had. My Sleep Number setting is 60. Linda's Sleep Number setting is 40. And we can't get any better. It lets you choose your ideal firmness on each side with this dual air technology. It's a perfect bed for couples or, you know, for anybody. Sleep IQ technology tracks your sleep. And now Sleep Number is coming up. You know, you heard Bob say at the Consumers Electronics Show, they've got a bed out there now that adjusts as you sleep. Think about that. It adjusts as you sleep. And, I mean, I think it's kind of cool, really, and I can't wait to see that. Anyway, it's whether you're making changes in how you're sleeping or your lifestyle choices to be able to sleep better, Sleep Number, number one by Consumer Reports, number one by J.D. Anderson and Associates, all those is, more, you know, for one reason, it does the job. And right now, you can get a queen mattress that starts at $699.99. And also, during the lowest prices of the year, you can save $600 on the Sleep Number i8 bed. You're not going to get any better. Give the gift of sleep for the year. I mean, or 2 years, because it's going to last you a long time. We've had this bed now for, what, 2 years? Over 2 years, and it's been great. Go on down to the Target Shopping Center. Go see Brian, Janice, or any of the professionals down there, and they'll get you in that bed. And plus, look at the pillows they have, Comfort Fit pillows, and all the other things they have, too, down there to help you sleep better. Okay, we're going to be right back after these messages, 7:14 in the morning. I want to talk about people being tortured and kidnapped and tortured because of their color. And then I want to talk about Redding, right here in Redding, our Redding Garbage Utility. Now, I think Bob Belongi may be calling in at 7:15 this morning. If that's the case, I want to catch up on some stuff with him from the SEO, or from the Consumer Electronics Show. And then after that, we'll roll into these things. We'll be right back.
Have you ever had your vehicle in a shop for a collision repair? When you called to check on it, did no one seem to know anything about it? Don Seck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Did you feel like a number when you were given canned rhetoric or generalization not specific to your vehicle? Although we are recognized as an authority in frame and suspension repair, we are primarily an auto body and truck collision repair center. When you select Coachmaster, we will tell you exactly how we are going to repair your vehicle. You will know the person in charge and get direct answers to your questions and follow-up phone calls, because every vehicle is personal to us. With our knowledge of the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to get started quickly. A reputation for excellent service and high-quality repairs takes years to build, and we intend to keep it. Coach Master, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Redding, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, we're Billy and Patrick for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower premier dealer.
You know, Powerhouse Solar has been a local family-owned business since 2003, and solar is all they do.
Solar, electric, battery backup, hybrid systems, and pool solar so you can swim more months of the year.
Solar energy saves you money every month, and they have financing options available. Just give them a call for a free estimate. It's 275-5600, or visit their website at powerhousesolar.com.
They sell the best quality solar products from SunPower. SunPower has the highest efficiency panel in the world with the best warranty in the industry, 25 years bumper to bumper.
Powerhouse Solar offers a lifetime warranty for workmanship and installation to the original owner at the original location. So check out Solar, may be able to reduce your electricity costs and help save the environment.
Give them a call, 275-5600. Like SunPower, Powerhouse Solar has an A+ Better Business Bureau rating.
Check out their third-party customer reviews at powerhousesolar.com. Then call 275-5600 for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower premier dealer.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Dubai. Good morning, everybody. It is 8:18 after the hour of 7 o'clock. 30 degrees going up to 48 today. We're going to probably get rain this afternoon or this evening and rain all day tomorrow and Sunday. Weather reports always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Discounts for seniors and veterans there, 365-3793. This portion of the show brought to you by Dandelion Boutique, one of my favorite places to shop for Linda, because when I walk in there, they have things in there that's ready to, Linda looked at this. And so it's easy, you know, for birthdays and celebrations and anniversaries. But they have a selection of everything from Brighton bags to, you know, they've got a whole clothing side in there that is just, could probably meet everyone's needs. And plus all the jewelry, Brighton jewelry and bags that you can imagine. It's a great boutique in there. Dandelion Boutique, 1322 Pine Street. Head on down. Bob Belongi is on the phone.
Good morning.
Have you, I just need to know. Okay, here I'm picturing this. All right, is that you've been around so much electronics that your kind of your beard is frizzed out, your hair is kind of frizzed out. You know, it's kind of like the Doc in Back to the Future.
Not quite. Christopher Lloyd had a very unique character with Doc Brown. No, it is a little overwhelming. No matter how hard we try, the best we can do is just hit a few high points here at CES 2017. Carl, the big takeaway this year, there isn't a new earth-shattering, groundbreaking technology hitting the market. This is mostly refinements on what has been introduced, and that's when it all starts coalescing together. We're getting closer and closer to Tony Stark's Jarvis, you know, the home assistant. You walk in the door, lights on. You can, with a single command, say, you know, good night, and the shades will lower, the doors will lock, and these complex series of commands. In fact, just navigating around Las Vegas, I have been making heavy use of my the latest update to the Android operating system on my smartphone by simply saying, okay, Google, navigate to navigate to a certain resort, and it does it without a lot of button punching, absolutely hands-free. That's very important as distracted driving becomes a bigger thing. Now, here's something you may want to kind of wrap your brain around. Remember Google Glass? It was kind of a fail. People wearing the very lightweight headset with a built-in camera. For most people, it kind of creeped those around them out, and it never really caught on. Plus, it was very expensive.
Well, it is kind of creepy. Come on.
But imagine that technology adapted so that a blind person or a very visually impaired person is wearing the glasses, and between very sophisticated machine learning plus a human assistant who can be called up on demand, like a paging service, at the touch of a button, the human assistant or the artificial intelligent machine learning system can say, you're about 4 feet from the curb. There is a car in front of you. You're in the grocery store. The oranges are just to your left. Imagine how that would empower liberate somebody who is isolated from the world by a visual impairment. Same with somebody who suffered an amputation. Artificial limbs up until now have been clunky and clumsy and horribly expensive, but with increases in computing power, sensor technology, materials, all coming together to give somebody who has lost an arm or a leg mobility and independence. Consider that is the big takeaway from this CES for me.
Wow. Do they give you like handouts or things like that? What do they do there? Because it's so technical. I mean, do they give you like, hey look, put your thumb drive in here and download this?
Well, there are lots of thumb drives being handed out. As a matter of fact, we were in what's called Eureka Park yesterday, which is where a lot of these startups and people who think way outside the box, these are makers who are now moving into a professional environment. Funded by crowdfunding like Indiegogo, a lot of manufacturers are using are seeing, rather than the big venture capitalists investing money, it's a large number of people giving small amounts to see a project come to fruition, which really changes the whole dynamic of product development, because now it is driven by actual people who will be using these things, investing in it, rather than a venture capitalist dropping a couple of million bucks and kind of sticking their hand in the pot and saying, this is what we want people to have. It changes the whole dynamic, kind of returning some power back into the craftsmen and creating the second industrial revolution. A computer that a few years ago would have cost thousands of dollars, with a very sophisticated processor, a gigabyte of RAM, Bluetooth, wireless LAN. I'm holding one in my hand, the Raspberry Pi 3. Literally, they are making them so cheap that they can be handed out as samples. Think about
that's
that.
That's a little computer that does things.
Yes, right? It is, and I have I have one in my hand right here, and talked to an engineer with Aero.com about that these are the Legos. These are the Erector sets. These are the Lincoln Log building blocks for the next generation to learn how to make new things. Lego getting into this in a big way with connected blocks that you build something, and then you get it to do something. And these are the basic learning skills. Coding is as fundamental as typing for the up-and-coming, for the millennials and the children of millennials.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Tell me about it. Hey, now, Okay, so you've seen things that's going to help people with impairments, infirmities, disabled. You've seen, you know, you've gotten to the point where people are handing out computers to you, and like, you know, like the Raspberry, like you talked about. Okay, what did you see yesterday? Because it's early today. What did you see yesterday that was the biggest thing?
Well, there's the integration of home automation. Now, I used to install home automation. It was very expensive, very specific to a particular ecosystem. I helped install AMX systems, which you would spend tens of thousands of dollars on touchscreens around the house to do things like turn the lights on and off, start up your home theater, close the drapes, all that via touchscreens. Now, this year, the big buzz is, of course, in-home assistants like Alexa and Google Home that you can simply talk to your house, like I said, like Jarvis, when you come in, and it doesn't matter who manufactured the thermostat or the water valve or the curtain controllers, they will have a common language that they all speak, and it's basically plug and play. An ordinary person can put these systems together. We're starting to see those showing up at the hardware stores like Lowe's and Home Depot, where you can start out with just the basic Alexa or Google Now, or Lenovo just introduced a new voice
so,
activated.
So you can
play your music.
Put it on your thermostat yourself and say, okay, thermostat, move up to 65 because I'm coming home.
Yeah, you can say.
Now, can you do that during your? You can do it from your phone to your whatever it is, Google Echo or whatever.
Well,
it is.
Generally, there would be a Alexa, Echo, or a Google Now, or something, or even through your phone.
Yeah.
For instance, when I set my alarm, I just picked up my phone and I said, "Wake me up at 6:30 a.m." and it did it. No button pushing.
Well. Okay.
Just think about how challenging it is, for a person who has sight impairment, or you're in bed and you've taken your glasses off. Your smartphone screen is a blur.
Or you have long fingernails when you're trying to type. I've noticed Linda that she has the most interesting text messages that come flying across to people.
Yeah.
So hey, first of all, the chat room sends you their love and they really like these updates. So.
All right, it's fun doing them. Of course, program note, Saturday, 12
That's right.
noon,
12 to 2,
live from CES.
You going to have any big guests there? Bill Gates or somebody?
No, we have most of those folks do the keynotes. Now, Microsoft has not been directly involved with CES for a couple of years now. Of course, Apple pulled out years ago. But that actually has an upside. It makes room for a lot of these smaller companies, and we're hearing from, the car manufacturers are here in a big way. In fact, one of the major car manufacturers skipped the Detroit Auto Show and brought their car to CES.
Wow.
Because of the connectedness of the car. Everybody, there's only so much you can do with a car body and all that. But now integrating that vehicle to do things like not just drive itself, that's still a ways down the road for wide adoption, but augmented protection around the car. In other words, blind spot sensing. Is there a motorcycle in your blind spot? If there is an object there, the car is going to warn you, don't pull over into the other lane. If you are looking over your shoulder at that motorcycle and suddenly the guy in front of you slams on his brakes, your car is going to pick that up. And if you don't take, it'll warn you. And if you don't take action, just like in an airplane that hits a stall, it's going to apply the brakes and network with vehicles around it to avoid an accident.
Okay,
systems be hacked or abused? Absolutely. Yeah. Then that's the big challenge for manufacturers, is to build the protections in, but also save a lot of lives.
Okay. Bob, thank you so much for this update. Now, your mission, if you choose to accept it, is this. Bring me back a Raspberry, my own, and if you can, and at least a couple of thumb drives.
We will certainly work on that. It's a huge thing. We hit the main hall today, the Las Vegas Convention Center. So far, we've just been working around the periphery.
The thing
about the is it's in three venues. There are 3,000-plus vendors here, manufacturers, representatives, over 160,000 participants overall in the 2017 CES.
Well, I tell you what, when you come back, we're going to spend another a half an hour talking about it when you come back on Monday.
All right. Well,
you guys, you and Brenda, be careful on your way back. It's been snow and all crazy things happening around here. So,
well,
and it's going to
be
raining.
A little bit wet.
Yeah, it's going to be raining too. Okay, okay, Bad Bob. Thank you so much for the update and have a great time. I know you will.
All right. All right, Carl, have a great day.
You bet. And everybody listen tomorrow from 12 to 2. It'll be live from the Consumer Electronics Show. Hey, we're going to take a break. It's 7:30. We'll be right back with the Smart Center.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
If someone told you that there's a chance you could go to the big game, what would you do? All it takes is a trip down to Wind River Resort and Casino to play our Big Games Create Big Memories Swipe to Win promotion, where you could win two tickets to watch the big game at NRG Stadium in Houston, Texas, a four-night stay at the Omni Westside Hotel, round-trip airfare, and pre-game hospitality plus $500 cash. Swipe to win your free River Club card, and you could win free entries. Every 200 points gets you an entry. It's simple. Spin the reels on your favorite slot machine or swipe your free River Club card daily for your chance to win drawings Thursdays at 8 p.m. Final drawing Thursday, January 26th, where you can win the big game package for two at NRG Stadium. Don't miss out on this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. This is what memories are made of. This is not your ordinary game. This is the biggest game of the year, creating extraordinary memories for years to come. Remember, more games, more ways to win, more fun at Wind River Resort and Casino. The place to win. For details, log on to WindRiver.com. It's better at the river.
And I saw my reflection in snow-covered hills till the landslide brought me down. Oh, mirror in the sky.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Can't Carl and the Bot. 27 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock here on the 6th of January, 2017. 30 degrees, going to go up to 48 today. And it's going to be a nice day until this evening, and then it's going to rain for the next 2 days. So if you want to kind of go out and kind of stay dry, you might want to get things done today. But you're going to go out tomorrow anyway. Now, I know that Ted Leidy and his Northern Firearms Instruction has got a big class, 50 people going to be out there in the classroom tomorrow morning and then shooting on Sunday. It should be an interesting day. They've taught them before in the rain, and everybody still qualifies. But anyway, this is the reason why is they have great instructors there at Northern Firearms Instruction. You can't beat it. You can't beat the instruction. This is some. This is a business. This isn't a part-time business. This isn't an aside. This isn't anything. This is a full-time business for retired Command Sergeant Major Ted Lighty. He does this. He teaches all over, of course, Northern California, but now down in the Southern California. Ted and I go on a lot of different events, and there's so much. There's only so much he can do. He could teach every day, and all of his people could teach every day, because they are just super instructors. All of them are NRA trained, and they go on to advanced classes. You can get classes in anything from range safety, of course, to CCW, but also carbine. Tactics and advanced pistol. All of this at Northern Firearm Instruction. Check it out at NFI.com or give him a call at 530-999-1822. Okay. Hey, I'm here with Betsy Ray. And Betsy Ray is the program supervisor over at the Smart Center. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for coming over. Now, why you say do I have Betsy here? Because I haven't had anybody from the Smart Center on, and because I am utilizing the Smart Center assets. And we just started this a couple weeks ago.
Yes, we did.
Now, the story is on this is that we brought in a new salesperson, associate, and because it's not just regular sales. It is not just selling radio spots, which in itself is you have to train people into that. But she is also selling, she's also getting into the process of how we're spreading out with also the internet. And so she's been trained by not only us, but also the Cloud Project over there. And so we were looking for somebody, and we went to the Smart Center.
Yeah, you did. So, yeah, you took advantage of what's called our worksite training program. And so it's a great opportunity for local businesses who are wanting to hire on a new employee, but maybe that new employee needs to learn some skills in a new part of that position. And so what we can do is we can kind of help offset some of those training costs that an employer would be putting into that new employee. And so we can kind of reimburse some of the wages for typically it's the first 30 to 90 days, depending on how intensive the training is.
Well, and see, this is why this is important, because most people have never sold radio or worked in the internet projects that we're working now on websites and building out how people advertise for, you know, not just now, but for 5 years in the future. And this is one of the things that we've started on, of course, like what I said with Joe McKenna. And it takes a while for a person to grasp all this. We went out, in fact, on our first customer this week.
Oh, wow.
And it was, I believe it was successful. And in this mixture of what we're doing, but it's not easy. And it's a lot to grasp. So being able to have you all there helping us, you know, get over that first hump where they don't bring in any money, but you've got just about money going out for several weeks with salespeople. I mean, I've had salespeople that for 90 days didn't sell anything, or for 64 days. And on the 65th day, I asked them to leave. But if I had had, you know, the Smart Center in here, as you're doing, It gives you that opportunity to train, and it doesn't just kind of drain your pocket at the same time.
Yeah, it's a great way for a business who, you know, is either wanting to bring on a new employee or fill a position. It's really to help you offset those training costs that you might be incurring to train that new employee.
And you know what? And here's what happens is you meet up with Betsy or one of her associates, and you say what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, and then they've got somebody there that, you know, that has a lot of the qualifications. You all get together and meet. And then, we're going to try this. Well, it's not just, okay, we'll see you in 90 days, which is really cool. 2 weeks after we hire, we had our first sit down with Christy that came in yesterday. Mm-hmm. And we do a test on where, it's a summary of where that person is, you know, in 2 weeks. And, okay, can this person, you know, it go and it rates from 1 to 5. Well, most of these are going to be very low.
Yes.
Because we're still training them like that. And we have to explain that to the person. Oh, no, you're not a dope. It's just this is where you are. And we've got to see how you're going to be here. And, you know, as we go through through the process. And then we send you her pay stubs, which we sent off yesterday.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so you should have that. And but to me, it's well run, it's organized, and y'all are keeping track. And there's things that, you know, that you're watching for to make sure is that, you know, that it's being done correctly. And I appreciate that.
Yeah, our whole goal is for people to gain skills so that they can be successful in the workplace. And so the monitorings really help us make sure that they're learning those skills so that, you know, we're just not letting them start and then 90 days later, it's like, well, they never learned those skills. So we want to make sure that we're making sure that they get those skills. And it's a great opportunity to, even if they're maybe struggling or there's some skills they need to work on, then that's where we can kind of discuss those with you and the employee to make sure that they're staying on track and learning those skills to be successful long term.
Absolutely. Now, and here's the other thing is if it's successful and your person and the person we have, which we think is going to work out great, continues to move forward and expand and live to the, I think, the potential that she has, then that means as we turn around and we come back to you again.
Yes.
And
yes.
Say, you know, this has been really good. I need another.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you have a lot of people out there utilizing you all?
We do have a lot of businesses that know about our programs, but we also have a lot of businesses that don't know. And so we're always out there trying to spread the word to let them know what programs are available. And I would say that the Worksite Training Program is a great opportunity for small business, medium-sized business, any kind of business in Shasta County. So it's a great opportunity.
Now, are you a government organization?
We're a private nonprofit, and we receive grant funding through the Department of Labor, the state, and we also receive local grants as well that help us operate all the different programs that we have.
Okay. So you're not a government entity?
No.
Then. Okay. Well, that's interesting. No, I did not know that.
Yeah.
So you're out there to helping people get jobs.
Yeah. Our whole goal is to just stimulate the workforce. Our goal is to help job seekers seek employment. We also can help them access training, whether it's educational training or on the job training. And then what we try to do is help employers find skilled job seekers to make that match so that they can find quality candidates for the positions they're trying to fill.
And you know what? And frankly, there's some people that hired for jobs that's just not up there. That's just not their cup of tea,
mm-hmm.
right? And you help. And so if it's not working out, you just, okay, I mean, no harm, no foul, and you bring them back in and push them in the right direction where they should be going.
Yes.
I hope.
Mm-hmm.
I should say I hope.
Yeah, we always try to help people kind of do career exploration, identify what their skill set is, either help them educationally to try to get the skills that are needed by employers or try to team them up where they can get on the job training where the employer is actually going to be training them in the field that they'll be working in.
Okay, now how do you help them? Like say it's a on education.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is this like a technical, like, you know, let's just say welding or, is, you know, or other things? Can you?
It can be
can you help them with that?
It can be a variety of different trainings that are available. And so for welding, for example, that is a program that's in demand, you know, industry-wise. So
yeah.
We also have to identify if it's a training that's going to lead to employment afterwards, because we'd hate to put someone in training and then them not be able to find employment afterwards.
Yeah.
So it's usually the industries have to be in demand where there's going to be an opportunity for them to gain employment at the end. And then we have a lot of training programs that are available through the college, career technical educational training certificates, things like that, where we can sit down with them, kind of assess what their background is, what their goals are, and then there's potential to assist them with the training.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Great. How many people work with you?
We have 24 staff.
Wow.
We have an office here in Reading, and then we also have an office in Weaverville.
I didn't know that you had that many people.
Yeah.
You know, I came down there once before, and just, I guess probably didn't understand how it worked. And then my partner here, Joe McKenna,
okay,
said, you know what? This works for me. And that's when we started it, and it's worked out. Like I said, it's worked out really well. That it helps you get over that first hump of the person that's especially in sales and doing the different things we do, gets you over that hump,
mm-hmm.
of people not, you know, just because it just takes a while a lot,
yeah.
of times. And like I said, we've had people come in before that they'll go 30 days and not have it. You ready for a question?
Sure.
All right. Put those on. Ranger Rick, buddy, you're on.
Hey, man, one question for the young lady.
Sure, go ahead.
When are you guys moving in with EDD to save money on the cost that for the, basically you guys do the same programs? But I know you guys have been directed to move into the state building. When is that going to take effect?
We are working, coordinating with the local EDD office, and we are still trying to get that worked out. But the goal is to hopefully be co-located with them under the new Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Acts. So we are in the process of trying to get that worked out.
Well, you know, and I hope that the listeners understand that this is a cost-saving, taxpayers' cost-saving step. And quite frankly, I don't know why it hasn't taken place already. I know you guys are paying a lot of rent down there. I know this is grant money. I know you earlier said you get it from the Department of Labor and the taxpayers of the state of California. So I really don't understand why this hasn't taken place already. They got plenty of room down there in that state building.
Yeah, we're working on it. There's a lot of like checks and balances at a higher level than me that really has to sign off, and there has to be improvements made to the buildings. And so they're working on it, and we're eager and hoping that it'll happen.
And I understand that, you know, at your level, you know, there's echelons above. But I do want the taxpayers to understand this WIOA program that you spoke of is really to go ahead and stop duplicative services and save money. And I don't think that the taxpayers need to be more informed about this program, because there's a lot of money out there spent for these same programs.
Well, here's my bottom line is, yeah, I would love to see them combined, or not combined, but at least co-located, and if they're in helping each other. But my bottom line is to get people, especially veterans, get them out there and get them back in the job market. And like, we've got a single mom that we just hired, and it fits in really well. She needs the she's I think going to be really good in the job, and the smart center helped us, just like the EDD helps other people too. Even though that you left that area.
Yes, I did, and I have to know a little bit more about this than the average there. But
yeah, I know.
I will also point out that CalWORKS, another California taxpayer program, CalWORKS, in another building not too far from EDD and Smart Business Center, also does the same program that your host talks about, where they will supplement.
We do a lot of the similar programs, but there's different eligibility requirements for each program. So someone who may qualify for CalWORKS may not qualify for our program. So the great thing about all the different programs is it hits a variety of different demographics. And so someone who may be served at CalWORKS, they wouldn't come over and get duplicate services from us. We would be able to serve a different demographic than someone at CalWORKS or someone at EDD. So it does kind of spread out the opportunities for different demographics.
Yeah, and I do understand that CalWORKS, you know, has a lot of, they're trying to transition that low-income, maybe that single mother with child care and all that stuff. They look more at things like that.
Yeah.
And I know you guys do, too.
Yeah.
But
hey,
still, once again, taxpayers.
Well, you know what? The idea of combining all those into one building is probably a good idea. But, you know, right now, I've got to take a break. Thanks, Ranger Rick.
All right, take care.
Hoorah. Hey, we're here with Betsy Ray, who from the Smart Center. She's one of the program supervisor over there. And Betsy, how do people get a hold of you?
People can come down just into our office. We're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. We do close for lunch from 12 to 1.
Okay.
But anybody can come in and access. We have what's called a job center, where we have a computer lab. So people can come in, update their resume, create a resume. We also have a job board where local employers contact us and we post jobs for them for free.
Mm-hmm.
And so anybody who's just looking for job search assistance, they can come in and they can access.
And where
the
are you located
lab.
At now?
1201 Placer Street.
Which is?
Just downtown at the corner of East and Placer Street.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is great.
Yeah.
You know, we really appreciate what you've done here. And this is not going to be the first and last time you're on, because we want to have you on. And kind of as we move through this with our person, and have you on and talk about it some more.
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right. Betsy Ray from the Smart Center down there on Placer and East Street. And you got a phone number?
245-1500.
We're going to put some more stuff out about this, too. Because it's working for us, working real well for us. So far, it's been 2 weeks, but it's done everything that you all said it was going to do.
Great.
And we're looking forward for the rest of it. Okay. Thanks a lot, Betsy Ray. Have a great weekend. Stay dry.
Thank you. You too.
You bet. All right. We'll be right back after these messages.
Orchard Nutrition Center knows that your time is valuable. Now you can place your deli order online, and we'll have it ready when you're ready. Visit Orchard Nutrition Center's Facebook page and click on the Use App button. From there, you can select to order delicious deli items such as deli cheeses, meats, a variety of fresh-made salads, or you can select to build your own custom deli sandwich. Choose from a variety of freshly baked breads. Add your favorite cheese, meat, condiments. And don't forget to add your favorite veggies, and if you'd like to add some extras, that's okay. Create your sandwich your way. And now you can pay online with our secure online checkout, and your order will be ready in 30 minutes. Whether a single item or a large order for your office or family, skip the checkout lines and log on to Orchard Nutrition Center on Facebook at OrchardNutrition.com or download the Orchard Nutrition Center app from Google Play or the App Store. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Must be Budget Blinds, because only Budget Blinds brings a showroom of great window fashions to your door. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Janet. Love the new designs.
Colors and patterns you can't find anywhere else. Brought right to your door. Exclusive product lines for every budget, including Roman shades, rugs, pillows, and so much more. To transform any room from ordinary to extraordinary. Plus, we do all the measuring and installation for you. No more running from store to store or taking your chances online.
Budget Blinds is a home convenience concept. Whenever you call Budget Blinds, you're always going to get a live person on the phone. We'll come out. We'll bring all sorts of different samples. We'll listen to your need. Being a franchise owner of Budget Blind, a big part would be our warranties. Our warranties are unbeatable. With no questions asked, no matter what happens to your window coverings, you're covered in.
So when you hear, think Budget Blinds.
If you're in need of custom window coverings, give Budget Blinds a call today. 226-9027 or visit us on the web at budgetblinds.com.
Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media sound bites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and the Bot. 9 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock right here on KCNR 1460. Doug Lamoff, Congressman Lamoff, will be on with us around a little bit after 8, talking about what's happening there on Capitol Hill. I've got a lot of questions. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Tobacco and Brew. Tobacco and Brew. The best place if you want to go get a cup of coffee at Espresso Joe's and you walk next door to the best tobacco emporium in Northern California with a walk-in humidor that'll knock your socks off. Absolutely fabulous. Tobacco and Brew open 7 days a week, 7:30 in the morning till 7 at night, and gives discounts to veterans at Espresso Joe's. They are great people there, a veteran-owned business, and have contributed mightily to the veterans in our community. Tobacco and Brew. Now, let me get into – I'm not going to get into this white, mentally challenged young man who was kidnapped and tortured by four blacks in Chicago, because it's Chicago, and you kind of expect that in Chicago, don't you, that bad things happen. But this one is kind of really atrocious. Takes this kid or young man, and somehow he knew one of them. Anyway, drives him around for a while, and then they all get together, then they throw him into a room, they – cut his clothes off him. They cut him. They yell at him. They scream hate epitaphs at him. They make him, you know, say nasty things about Trump. They cut him in his head. They cut his arms. You know, it's just terrible, horrible. And okay, but here's the worst part. They Facebooked it with their photo, with their faces on it. They Facebooked it, and their faces are in it. Now, not only is it just horrible that they do that, it just shows us just how stupid. And how they just believe, oh, nothing's going to happen. It's just nothing going to happen. except now they've been charged with hate crimes, and this one has, like, touched a nerve. President Obama said this was despicable. You know, when it gets, you know, when you're getting into this, that President Obama says it's despicable. There's no words for it. The Chicago police, you know, that you can just see the police chief or the head of the police department there. Just looking, he goes, you know, you know, just when you think it's not going to get any worse, something like this happens. Anyway, and then you take a look at the four people, their mugshots. You talk about two defiant guys. They're standing there like smug, you know, like, hey, so what? That kind of thing. Anyway, I just don't quite understand how that works. Okay, now, you really want to get mad. Okay, that's just to get you warmed up. You really want to get mad? Let's talk about the garbage fiasco we've got going here. I like to call it the garbage caper, the waste caper. Here it is that, you know, that first of all, we got these notices in the mail. If you noticed it, by the way, if you even realized you got them, it says if you don't want your taxes raised, if you don't want your rates raised on the solid waste and the garbage and this, then you have to come back in with this and say you don't want it. Well, of course. What a specious way of doing this, because most people don't get it. Even in fact, a lot of people didn't get it. And so they come back, the people that did, and they say, well, it was less than 50%. So that means over 50% wants to raise their rates. Really? Really? I mean, here's what I don't agree with. Why do it like that? City Council, here you go, buddies. You guys have been elected. Why don't you stand up and say, look, we've done a study. We're going to have to raise the rates if we're going to keep having, you know, water, or we're going to keep having the garbage, the sewers, and the waste, all this. If we're going to keep having that, we need to raise the rates this much. Throw it out to the people. Let them know about it. And say, and then we don't even have to vote. Just but make it in the open and say, this is what we're going to do. This is why we're going to do it. Whoa, but we have this way. This, you know, what the people obviously wanted to raise their rates. Really? The next time, if you're going to do this again, the next time say, if you want your rates raised, send us back a letter and see how many people send a letter back. Once you do that, oh, you know why they don't do that? Because they lose every time. Because the city council doesn't have the guts to stand up and say, hey, look, this is what we need to do. We need to raise the rates. Now, that's one thing. Now, here's number two. I get a letter in the mail that says, by the way, this is after they've already raised the rates. I get a letter in the mail that says, oh, by the way, that'll be $4 more for that extra green, that green can you have out there. What? Didn't even sign it. It was kind of like in a, mine was folded up in a little piece, you know, an envelope comes in. In fact, it was a little rumpled up, like somebody just kind of was shaking when they stuck it in there. And it is sweat stained and all this. And it opens. So we're going to charge you $4 starting, by the way, Monday. I got it Friday. It's going to be Monday. Really? So you call down to say, well, I don't want that extra four, you know, that extra can. I don't really want that. So what? You can't get through. You're on hold for 30 minutes. You just can't. You can't get through. Why? Because everybody else is calling, telling them, what are you doing? What are you doing? How can you do this to us? You've already raised our rates, and it wasn't even in that one. Now you're going to plunk on another $4 by Monday? So many people called and complained. It just kind of shut down the switchboards. So now it gets so. But they came out and said, "Okay, won't be Monday. It'll be the end of January." You've got to say that. Okay, so then a lot of people are doing this. Well, you come get this can. Well, I'm sorry, but we're so backed up, we probably can't do that. I don't know, maybe to the end of the month. But you're still going to be charged for it. So a lot of people have said, not only can you have that green can back, you can have the other green can back and the blue can. I'm just going to make a mulch pile, burn my leaves, and just put my other stuff into my garbage. Ha, ha, ha. How do you like that? Go to the phones. Kay. I got a minute, Kay.
Hi, Carl.
Hey.
I'm wondering, they based it on the number of letters that they sent out. They were separate letters. And they based it on 60% of the letters sent out. And, I mean, for example, I got two letters, and other people got a lot. If you had a 10-apartment building, the owner got one, and each one of the people who paid rent or utilities got one. So that's for one place, that would be 11 letters. I think it should be based on the parcel, 50% of the parcels. Do you see what I mean?
No. But that's because my mind wandered. I was kind of looking at things in the chat room. I'm sorry.
The number of parcels.
Okay.
And it's supposed to be the state law.
Oh, okay.
And I wish there would be somebody who knows about the law, they went by the law, but you know how Sacramento is.
Well, yeah, you know, the thing is that, hey, send out your proposals, but just reverse it. Just reverse it. If you want to raise your rates, send us back that letter.
Well, but what I'm saying is I think that they had more than 60% of the the parcels responding.
Yeah.
Because if you responded and you put yes for, you know, if it was one no for the parcel and the other nine voted yes, it would be a no. It was a no. And the yeses didn't count. So, I mean, I wish we could have somebody who really delved into it, you know, an independent person.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Trying to get that at this place. Anyway, Kay, we're over our time.
Okay.
We're into the news. Thanks, hon. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
You bet. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with Congressman LaMalfa. He should be calling in around 5, 8, 10 after, somewhere around there, because he's voting a lot today. All right. We'll be right back.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Moderate rise in jobs, a strong rise in workers' wages, an increase in the number of hours that people are working, and a return of some people to the workforce that found jobs, I'd call it a solid report.
The unemployment rate ticked up to 4.7% from a 9-year low of 4.6%. Schools, government offices, and businesses are closed throughout much of Arkansas and Oklahoma as a winter storm delivers snow to the southern plains. And forecaster Brian Hurley at the National Weather Service says the Great Lakes region could see heavy accumulation.
We're still looking at the lake effect snow showers downwind of the Great Lakes, and that's going to continue Friday and especially Friday and persist in some areas over the weekend. But a lot of the snow, the bulk of it, I should say, is going to be downwind of Lake Erie and Ontario.
In the Texas Panhandle, 5 to 7 inches of snow is forecast through this afternoon. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Epigenetics and Sins of the Father, GodSaidManSaid.com, U.S. colleges, new mental institutions, close Satan's secret door, GodSaidManSaid.com. Should your child be breastfed? Geologists say yes to crucifixion, GodSaidManSaid.com. Which religion? Which Bible? Quantum physics to Adam's rib, hours of text and streaming audio, GodSaidManSaid.com.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and bad tweets can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. Reputation.com can protect your good name. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. Call 800-651-4888. 800-651-4888.
Orders to U.S. factories fell for the first time in 5 months in November, as much of the weakness reflected a swing in the volatile category of commercial aircraft. A closer look at the numbers from correspondent Jeremy House.
The Commerce Department says factory orders declined 2.4% following a 2.8% increase in October. November's decline was paced by a 73.8% plunge in demand for commercial aircraft following a 94.5% surge in October. A key category that serves as a proxy for business investment spending increased 0.9%. This category has lagged for much of this year as a result of big cutbacks in the oil and gas industry.
That's correspondent Jeremy House reporting. Investors appear cautiously optimistic on Wall Street in early trading. Right now, it's the Dow Jones Industrial Average back into positive territory, up by about 12 points. The S&P 500 is up by 2, and the high-tech NASDAQ now up by 22 points. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. His aides are working with congressional Republicans on a plan to make sure that money is available to build a wall on the border with Mexico. Donald Trump still insisting that Mexico will eventually fork over the cash to pay for that wall. Trump advisor Kellyanne Conway explaining how it will work to CBS's This Morning.
Congress is taking it on themselves to explore different options to pay for the wall. But from our perspective, nothing has changed. Obviously, we respect federalism. And if Congress is trying to find different ways to fund this project that is a top priority to President Trump, then they should do that.
President-elect Trump is now taunting Arnold Schwarzenegger for bringing in low ratings in the spinoff of Trump's old reality TV show Celebrity Apprentice. In a tweet early today, Trump referred to himself as a ratings machine and said that Schwarzenegger got swamped by comparison. Trump added, quote, but who cares? He supported Kasich and Hillary. Schwarzenegger calls himself a moderate Republican and said back in October he would refuse to vote for Donald Trump. More of these stories from townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Abadi. It is 5 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock here on January the 6th, 2017. As we start off this year, and today, of course, it looks like it's going to be an interesting day and this weekend. And Jared, what's it look like?
Our forecast for this week, today it's going to be a high of 48, a low of 35, with a 50% chance of showers tonight. On Saturday, we have heavy rain throughout the day, high of 46, a low of 39. On Sunday, it's going to be a 100% chance of rain with a high of 56 and a low of 39. And on Monday, 80% chance of rain during the day with a high of 51 and a low of 42.
So is next week going to dry out at all, or is it going to be raining all week, does it look like?
I was looking at my forecast on the phone, and it looks like it's going to be wet throughout, even further on.
Wow. And I would imagine up in the mountains it's going to be snowing a lot. Weather reports always brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane, a veteran-owned business, where their customers are warm friends. They give senior and veterans discounts. You can give them a call at 365-3793. Let's go to the phone. Susan, good morning and happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Good morning, Carl. Good morning, everyone. Well, major averages are slightly positive. Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 9 points at 19,908. The S&P 500 advancing 1 point at 2,269. And the NASDAQ Composite positive 21 points at 5,509. The three most actively traded stocks on the NASDAQ, Frontier Communications up 2 cents at $3.75, Apple up $1.08, trading at $117.68, Facebook up $2.01 at $122.68. For local stocks of interest, AT&T down 47 cents at $41.69 per share, Verizon down 65 cents, trading at $53.42, Bank of Commerce up 5 cents at $10.54. In the bond department, treasuries are declining this morning with the 10-year treasury note down 2/32 to yield 2.40%. And over to commodities, gold is down $3.50 an ounce, $1,179. Silver off 8 cents at $16.59 per ounce. And crude oil down 13 cents, trading at $54 a barrel. That's the market for now. This is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors for KCNR.
Happy Friday, Susan. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Have a great weekend. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You bet. That's Susan Eastman, First Vice President of Investments over at Wells Fargo Advisors, 2705 Park Marina Drive. You're not going to find a better person to help you with your financial investments than Susan Eastman. You can give her a call at 530-243-7561. Okay, now we got a lot of comments ever since we started talking about the raising of the rates. And Bun Bun, who sent in a bunch of stuff, and here it is, and it kind of lays out a lot of the things, and it says essentially is that Proposition 218, this is California Proposition 218, sets the process for rate increases. Taxing entity must receive 50% plus one more opposed to the rate hike in order to be prohibited from raising rates. And a city may not change the process by stating the ratepayers must vote majority to approve. Specifically, ratepayers must oppose by 50% plus one. So they can't change it to, you know, you want to see how it really works, then do it, you know, reverse it. Because Proposition 218 is really sticking it to us. Issue in Reading is that many more residents received two notices and many probably tossed a second one because they had to put a stamp on it as well. Many thought that they received a second one by mistake. By sending out numerous notices, they skewed the numbers dramatically in favor of the hike.
Isn't that interesting? I can't believe they would do something like that. Entities rely on the general apathy of ratepayers to not return opposition votes, therefore supporting the Proposition 28 process to increase rates. Well, Bun Bun, I think you're right. So I hope that says Bun Bun. Yeah, I think you're right. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by our friends over at Bastiani Arms. You know, with all these gun laws, what exactly is right? You know, and what's going on? We're going to have Sam Paredes on here next week talking about gun laws. We're going to have, you know, we're going to have, you know, other people talking about gun laws coming in and what you can do, what you can't do, and all these. But if you go down to Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur, John Bastiani knows the laws. I mean, he knows them inside and out. And you have to be in the gun business. And he and his wife started this gun business like 8 years ago and have been a huge success because of their personal service that they give to their customers, the gunsmithing, the classes they have on CCW, always having the guns that you want to buy and the ammo and all those accessories. This is where I buy my guns, Bastiani Arms, because I get great service. I don't worry about the gun itself, and I don't worry about if I need some help with it. I just go on down and talk to them. Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur, right here in Reading. Okay. We're waiting for Congressman Lamoff with a call so we can get into a couple of other things that are going on. One of our listeners called and said to ask the congressman about there is a photo supposedly hanging in another congressman's office depicting Missouri riots. With what is it? What did you just? I can't read this.
Sorry, it was a Ruth Angel that called, and she said there was a painting hanging in a office of a Democratic senator, I guess Clay Nash, depicting riots in Missouri with cops being portrayed as pigs.
Whoa, isn't that interesting? Makes you wonder why, you know. It makes you wonder about the climate that's back there in Washington D.C. when you see things like that. When you see something like people putting this out in the open, I mean, what if they'd had a painting depicting a slavery movement back from the 1860s? On the phone with us is our congressman, and you know, I don't know if can you have you gotten a smile off your face yet, Congressman Doug Lamoff?
You must be referring to the optimism of what goes on starting in about 14 days here, huh?
Man, I tell you what, you know, every picture I see of you now, I can see your teeth through the beard. I can see the teeth, so I'm imagining you're either growling at somebody or you're smiling. So,
oh, there's still plenty of growling possibilities around here, but you know, it's a lot of excitement, and it's. A time of transition, you know, every time a new Congress is sworn in, that just never gets old. When you put your hand on the Bible there and you've been given the vote of confidence and the charge by the people of your district for another 2 years, it's a pretty amazing feeling. And so now we're going to go convert on that. We have most tools to be able to do what we've been trying to do for myself for previous 4 years, and some of my colleagues a lot longer than that.
Yeah.
So,
hey,
elections have consequences, and the 8 years of Obama era have brought some pretty tough consequences in the way I see it. So.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, Congressman, I want to take an early break, and then we can run and gun after the break, because there's a lot of questions out there, and I'm sure that you've got a lot of things to share with us.
Okay.
So
good. This
portion of the show is brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air, veteran-owned business in the business well over 20 years, voted best in the North State. He is the best in the North State, maybe best in California. Martin and his people will be out there 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. If you have an emergency, they've got guarantees, warranties. He's the one that we call if we have any questions at all on our heating or cooling systems. Give them a call at 221-2642 or check out their website at homecomfort.com. Alliance Heating and Air. We'll be right back with Congressman Doug Lamalfa.
This is Joe McKenna, CEO of CloudWise Academy and your host of the Digital Revolution Show. If you own a business, run a business, or want to start a business, then this show is for you. I'll pull back the green curtain exposing how the internet is impacting your business and give you the rules and tools to take control. If it's related to the internet and matters to business, we'll be talking about it here. Tune in every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. to the Digital Revolution Show on KCNR 1460.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Muse with Northern Lights Energy. We're doing a lot of heater upgrades, so if you think you want to try a new on-demand kerosene water heater or a Toyo heater, give us a call before winter. We can give you a free estimate. Robin down in Corning is very busy with all the truckers, farmers, with the ag season in full swing. Joe in Weaverville got his new awning up and all the lights are working for all the early birds. The Redding plant is selling a lot of ethanol-free 93 and a whole lot of barbecue bottles. And if you need a forklift tank, we got some of those in now. We have a lot of bulk oil in your container or ours, and we're open on Saturday till 3:30 at the Redding plant. Northern Lights Energy, everything from race car fuel, motor oil, red and clear diesel, and gasoline. In South Redding, we have the Muse Card Lock. Corning, Weaverville, and Redding, 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
This is Carl on the Bot, and there is only one place you will find a new Sleep Number dual temp layer bed. That's right, Sleep Number in Redding. Be sure to go in and see them in a Target shopping center next to the Vitamin Shop. My Sleep Number is 40, and I feel great.
Right now they're making room, so go in and receive huge savings on all Sleep Number memory foam and I-Series bed sets. My Sleep Number is 55. Go find yours today. Sleep Number in the Target center next to the Vitamin Shop.
I ain't as good as I once was. I got a few years on me now. But there was a time back in my prime when I could really live.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. 60 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock right here in Free Fire Radio. 605-4567 is our phone number, and this portion of the show is brought to you by our friends over at Crackmaster. Crackmaster Windshield Repair. If it's a small chip or a crack over 2 feet in length, Jeff Wurst will fix that for you, and he guarantees it for life. 3208 South Market Street, or give him a call at 241-8373, a veteran-owned business, and he does exceptionally great work. And that song, Congressman, you know, we're not as young as we once was, but we're still in there fighting, huh?
I didn't hear it. What was it?
Oh, it was that Toby Keith song. I'm not as good. I'm as good once as I ever was.
Oh, right, right.
Once.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Now, the Republicans have had their bluff called. Because I don't know.
We haven't been bluffing. We haven't had.
Well, no. I mean, not my bluff, not a bluff. But you said, you know what? We do this and this and this, and then he vetoes it. Now.
Right.
Is the time to leap forward. Can I say that?
Yes, sir, it is. We're optimistic about it. And if you want to talk Obamacare right out of the chute, which is the thing that's getting the most headlines and is probably the most chronic problem to working families, is that the rates just keep going up and up. It's taking a larger percentage of their disposable income and putting it towards a health care system that is a broken promise. So the Senate has already moved towards the debate they're required to do 50 hours of debate for however their rules work over there to start moving the ball on that. And so we can repeal a big portion of Obamacare fairly quickly on the fiscal side under what's called budget reconciliation. Now, budget reconciliation means in the Senate, you can pass that legislation with 51 votes, not 60. And that's an important factor, is that there is not 60 Republicans over there. Therefore, there's not 60 votes to repeal Obamacare. He came to the Hill a couple days ago. He actually drove in the same time as I was walking in, the president did, to make that last pitch to Democrats, please save Obamacare, or, you know, the ACA, save my legacy. I'd have to say I'd be a little embarrassed with that legacy because it's not working. But, you know, Pelosi and the Dems claim 20 million people now have insurance, never had it before. So, and that is part of what tempers the discussion too, is that there are people that are now covered in some fashion.
Hello?
I think we lost the congressman. I hope he I hope he realizes that we lost him there. Anyway, but it's a good point he's making. There's a lot of people that do have insurance now that did not have it before. So what are the so my question is going to be when he comes back is, you know, okay, I'm glad that that's recognized. So what are the Republicans going to do to to keep those people covered and yet make it a viable system, because it's not viable now? The other questions I have on that is when you talk about – when Ryan was talking about the repeal of the system and the replacement, he said it was going to take 3 years to do it. It sounds like people now are talking about defunding parts of it like immediately. Other thing is on not just Obamacare, but there's parts – but what about the parts that work? The parts that work that actually help people. Do you keep that in there and how you're going to do that? I tell you what, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after these messages. This portion of the show is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive here in Reading, and they have some great, great, great buys going on right now. They are the only full-service jewelry store in Reading with a watchmaker that's there all the time. You're not going to find a better place to buy jewelry that's fair. The prices they have are fair, and they are extremely, extremely honest. Lots of integrity at Four Winds Jewelry. 2225 Hilltop Drive, open Monday through Friday from 9:30 to 4.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
In the 40s, Reading Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Reading Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Reading with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Reading Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Reading Yellow Cab at 222-1234.
Orchard Nutrition Center knows that your time is valuable. Now you can place your deli order online, and we'll have it ready when you're ready. Visit Orchard Nutrition Center's Facebook page and click on the Use App button. From there, you can select to order delicious deli items such as deli cheeses, meats, a variety of fresh-made salads, or you can select to build your own custom deli sandwich. Choose from a variety of freshly baked breads. Add your favorite cheese, meat, condiments. Don't forget to add your favorite veggies, and if you'd like to add some extras, that's okay. Create your sandwich your way. And now you can pay online with our secure online checkout, and your order will be ready in 30 minutes. Whether a single item or a large order for your office or family, skip the checkout lines and log on to Orchard Nutrition Center on Facebook at OrchardNutrition.com or download the Orchard Nutrition Center app from Google Play or the App Store. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Twice the fun with a few more cowboys. Be a lot less outlaw with a few more amens. Be a lot less bad calls.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off of Athens Avenue, the best place in the world to get a haircut. It's a man's place. It's man's last stronghold, but you can bring in your kids, too, because it's friendly, kid-friendly. All of this in a better-known business called Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue, across from Subway. Hey, we're here with Congressman Doug LaMalfa. We got him back again. We sent our search teams out and caught him. Were you driving down the road at about 153 miles an hour in your Cobra?
No, I'm in Washington. It doesn't work that way here.
Oh, okay. Now, the questions that I was talking about when we lost you here was there are Paul Ryan said that it was going to take 3 years to replace Obamacare. And there are parts of Obamacare, obviously, and you were alluding to them when we got cut off, that there's people that do have insurance that didn't have it before. And there's also parts of Obamacare that seem to be, you know, generally accepted by everybody, like the pre-existing conditions and, you know, a couple other things. How are the Republicans going to address this?
Well, the pre-existing conditions were issues that we were looking at in Republican proposals are out there that there have been out there, even though they say Republicans don't have a plan. No, we've had them all along, but with the Democrat majority up through 2008 and up through 2010 when they were able to pass this, that's what took all the air out of the room was their proposals. They really want to move towards single payer, which means complete government control. So, you know, it will take time to unwind all this. Now, you have people out there, look at that, they're already backpedaling. No, it's not backpedaling. Things that have been put in place that are complex don't just unwind that quickly. If you want to rebuild your engine, you don't just throw it together. You have to put it together. Precise tolerances on your bearings and things like that. So, in this case here, yes, it is a bit of a balancing act because, you know, there'll be a firestorm of us kicking people off the cliff and all that if we don't move methodically. So it took several years to get this put in, and you know, I'm not sure about the 3-year timetable that Paul Ryan is speaking of. Maybe that's a pretty good estimate. So that said, the movement is underway now to do that and to replace the system that's in place with something that does address the pre-existing conditions and people that have ability to have coverage. Because part of it is, at the end of the day, it's getting the most possible coverage for the best possible price. Having the government run it does not do that. And so, as the Bible says, the poor will always be amongst us. And so we're a type of a country and type of people. We're not just going to let people lay in the streets. They're going to get basic emergency room care in a true emergency. But we should not have everybody going to the emergency room for the smallest thing just because they don't want to have to pay for it or do the copay. So that's where you have to put a reform in place and put teeth into that reform to get people to be responsible, to get them to carry their own insurance on their own accord. If you give them enough choices on there, they'll be more likely to buy an insurance program because it'll be tailored to a menu they want. You know, why would a 20-year-old young man want to have pregnancy coverage? Because, you know, at least yet, there's not many males that get pregnant. So, I mean, so it insults them to have to buy a coverage that's for more money. It has coverage on it that they don't, for things they don't want. Let them choose their own menu. And so it's been a top-down, forced-upon thing by government that's choosing its plans for you, especially in more rural California where you might have only one plan you can choose from. So with more and more exchanges going belly up around the country, it's obviously not working. But we do have to be methodical in how we replace it because you're going to have the bad press, the PR, and real people that are dropped off. Now, what's the fallacy of all this is that people that would say they're covered found out they're going to have to partly pay for it as well. They thought they were going to get it free. So there's people that have opted out of being covered and just instead pay the penalty or have it subsidized for them. You also have that people that have this insurance, nobody will take it. Doctors aren't going to get reimbursed under these systems as well as they would have under good insurance. So we have to move several pucks forward at the same time, at the same speed on this to do it correctly, because the media is not going to be helpful at all in advancing what it is that we're trying to articulate. A 15-second soundbite against us goes pretty far against 5 minutes worth of me trying to, or my colleagues trying to explain what it is we're really trying to do, and that's what people seem to respond to. So, you know, if you see it out there, people have faith. It isn't, Republicans are not equivocating or backing off on this thing. It does require a methodical, thoughtful way to do this to make it actually work and have it not blow up in a media firestorm that puts everybody on their heels.
Okay.
Does that answer that at all?
I think it does. No. And that's fine. You know, frankly, Congressman, it's leaping into Obamacare has led to such this big mess. If it takes time to do it and to fix it and do it correctly, hey, but you see steady movement, steady progress, I think everybody will accept that. I don't see a problem with that from anybody, except, you know, of course, the left-wing media who will try to do anything they can to pull it down.
Some of our friends on the right too are going to say you're not doing it fast enough.
Well,
you're not repealing a particular organization says you can. An organization that gets, you know, that collects dues and gets paid to do that and advocate, like, you know, I mean, I have to kind of pin my ears from both directions and say, what's the right thing here to do?
Well, the right thing to do is to correct it one time, you know, and not have that mess that was thrown in there that we have to read it to see what's in it, is to go at it piece by piece like an elephant, start at one, you know, just eat it one bite at a time. But that's part of the price we
all pay as a society when an election went wrong. I mean, the country voted in Obama twice.
Oh, yeah.
For a two-year period, they had a Democrat majority in the House and a 60-vote Democrat majority in the Senate. We pay a price when that goes wrong. And so, probably most of the people in our district don't feel like we should have to do that, but the country voted that way, and so now we have to unwind that, and that's the price you pay when, you know, if you don't repair your roof, the price you pay is that the stuff in your house is going to get rained on, and you get even more damage. Instead of if you would have repaired your roof in the summer. You know,
Did the Republican National Committee send a thank you note to President Obama for rebuilding the GOP from the grassroots up?
If you see the statistics and the number of legislative seats gained
at the
state level, the governors, the numbers that have gone up in the House and, you know, the Senate. You know, the Senate's up and down a little bit because it goes in cycles of one-third per election, but... Yeah, and then we're also sending him another note for reelecting Mrs. Pelosi as the Democrat House leader there too, because, you know, that just continues to pay dividends. I mean, you know, I mean tongue in cheek here, but
big move forward.
It shows they didn't learn anything from the election here. Mm-hmm. That what Trump was able to tap into with people that haven't been Republican-type voters, and, you know, like Michigan and places like that. So, I talked to a Democrat colleague from Michigan just yesterday on automobile standards here, and, you know, she sounds a lot like a Republican. That was another amazing thing. I got to had a group of guys together here. We're talking about hunting and sportsman-type things, and I was with three other Democrat congressmen. And I thought I was in a room with Republicans. I finally said, guys, because they're tired of all the regulations and making where you can't hunt and use the outdoors and lead bans on bullets and shot and things like that. Like, guys, you know, I got some forms in the car I can bring you over to my side here because we're talking some pretty important liberty deals here. You know, so they have a lot of Jekyll and Hyde stuff going on inside that aisle, too.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. Now... How about the picks that Trump's made for his cabinet? What do you say? What do you think about that? What's kind of the feeling on that?
I think he's got about 95% solid picks there so far. We haven't heard of all of them yet here. I'm not sure what he's going to do on VA, which is we're watching that closely.
I heard some of the a lot of the big name VFW and the AMVETS and all that said that they would like to keep the guy that's in there right now. Did you hear that?
To keep McDonald?
Yeah, because they're thinking that he's starting to make inroads.
No, absolutely not.
Okay, all right.
No, we've heard him speak down at the Oakland facility there. He was saying partisan hack stuff, and no way, not a chance. If it sounds like they're going to resettle on him, then we need our groups to be a little more in touch with what's really going on there.
I'm just saying, as I saw that article the other day, so...
No, not a chance.
Okay.
It would not go in the right direction. See, because I want somebody setting up the VA that, you know, if you walked in the room and saw what was going on, that you would be angry about it. You'd be determined about it. And, you know, what you hear is kind of the slow walk, we're working through a process and this and that. Like, no, not just for show, but you need to be genuinely like, look, you guys, I need some results here in 2 weeks and then some more results in 2 more weeks showing that we're moving the ball on this thing. Otherwise, some heads are going to get lopped off, and we're going to get different people in here.
I want to be.
I haven't seen that attitude there.
I want to be in charge of the Oakland. I want Oakland. That's all I'm asking. I can do that.
Carl Bott for Oakland. All right.
Oakland. I want the Oakland facility.
You really want to live down there?
I don't care if it's going to help. If I can fix that thing in 4 years, I don't care where I live.
Well, we'll talk. If we have somebody starting at the top on this thing, starting the VA director and the deputy director,
yeah,
to have a real heart and a real determination to make this facility, make this system work.
You got to have that positive. Get in there and make
it. Not be afraid to have veterans have true choices in the private sector. I mean, it would seem to me, like when we put the Veterans Choice Act through, that they would be relieved that they can get some outside help to catch up to the backlog. But they want to keep everybody in-house and not give them the choice as it's supposed to work.
Yeah.
And so we talked to some of the representatives at one of their monthly meetings in Reading about that. Like, how come veterans don't get to do this procedure or this procedure or this procedure under Veterans Choice? Oh, they can't. Like, well, no, the ones that we talked to say they've been denied. So I'm tired of the slow walking that these guys do and the bureaucratic end around. It's not cutting it. So, no, we need somebody new at the top there.
Okay, I'm all for that.
We got a really good guy who's the new House chairman there, Dr. Phil Rowe from Tennessee. He's a true gentleman, nice guy, friend of mine. And since Chairman Miller was chose not to run again and is would have been termed as chairman of the committee anyway, since the Republicans have term limits on committee chairmen. So this will be a good positive step anyway. And I'd like to see Chairman Miller become the VA guy. His name was bandied about early on.
Okay.
And so, you know.
All right. As long as we get somebody in there that wants to do something about it.
Yes. Well, we're jumping up and down, making sure that's what happens.
I'm jumping from spot to spot because a lot of questions coming in through the chat room.
Sure.
And one of them is, what happened with this ethics committee that hit the papers that? And
okay, good. So when the House is sworn in on the first day, we also have to adopt a set of rules for the House. And so revisions are made to the rules on that day, if or none at all. So one of them was brought up kind of last minute by the chair of the Judiciary Committee, Mr. Bob Goodlatte, that was going to change the way that the oversight is over the Office of Congressional Ethics. So you have that independent office, and you have the Congressional Ethics Committee, which is made up of, I believe, six members of each party, six Dems, six Republicans on the committee. I might be wrong on the number, but it's a split down the middle committee. So what has been happening with it's like anything. You know, you put something in place, and then after it goes for a while, you need to revise and do course corrections on it, you know, like a ship steadies it goes. And what we found with that, the independent committee, is that they tend to go after members for trivial things sometimes. I mean, there's plenty of things that obviously need to be investigated, but when somebody can bring a charge that's fairly frivolous or based on hearsay, and a member of Congress then has to defend themselves over this hearsay, what's the first thing that happens? They release it to the media, and you have World War II-sized headlines in the newspaper saying, Congressman so-and-so under investigation. Well, after a year and maybe $100,000 or more of lawyers' fees and all that, they found out, oh, yeah, there really wasn't anything to it. And that's happened on several occasions. During the debate on the rules, on that rule change, several members said, look, you know, I've had my reputation besmirched. It's in the newspaper every week. And at the end, as we all knew, there was nothing to the charge. We don't even get an oops or an I'm sorry. And then it's buried on the ninth page in small print. So a course correction was needed on this. Now, was this the exact right rule change the way it came, or was the timing good? You know, one of the arguments in the room was that, how's this going to look? You know, first thing we do was, as part of the rules package, is, you know, the media is running and gutting the ethics committee. Anything it's revamping the jurisdiction and putting oversight over it. You know, people that are elected have direct accountability to the voters. An appointed committee does not. So the oversight should always be done by the elected over the bureaucracy. So long story short, it was probably a misfire at that time, but I don't buy the argument of how something looks. Instead, you go out and you make the case. So I think that ethics committee needs to be revamped, but after the firestorm of all that, it was decided to be wiser to have a longer discussion on it and more hearings on it publicly here. But anytime you touch something like an ethics committee, people immediately want to jump to it.
Well, yeah,
jump to the idea that, oh, there they are trying to make less accountability for themselves because it's popular to beat up on Congress, okay?
So, you know, perception is reality, as we all know. So
Yeah, and, you know, again, so the argument, well, what's the perception going to be? And that frustrates me somewhat because, well, what's the right thing? What is the practical application of the Office on Ethics versus what the committee's oversight is that should be? And so, you know, some of the guys were saying, well, let's just rip the bandage off the wound right now and just do it, get it done, and then we can go home and explain it. And so I think it's part of our job is to try to lay it out and explain what goes on and then see how it works for a while. So instead, you know, instead of it being on the day one rules package, it's going to be reviewed by a committee process. There'll be hearings on that. And I think one of our new ethics members there, Susan Brooks, great lady from Indiana, she thought probably something could be put together by August on that and have something that's, you know, because there's not the type of due process for members as there is in the private sector. You should have a right to face who's making the accusation.
Sure.
It shouldn't be just an automatically a newspaper thing until there's something to it, some credence to it. You know, the results, if someone is found guilty of an ethical problem, yeah, that's when that stuff comes out. But you shouldn't be having that on the front page because it besmirches a reputation of your member of Congress who maybe didn't do anything wrong at all. Now he has to defend himself not only in the newspaper but probably in a campaign because that adds fodder too. So, and again, I'm not tone deaf here. Not many people feel sorry for members of Congress, but in order for them to be effective, I think they need a fair shake too.
Yeah. Okay, I hate to keep jumping these questions because I'm going to give the rest.
No.
Okay.
I'm glad to be able to explain them. And
Okay.
Take them a little explaining to understand.
So, you know what? And that was, I think that was a big one because I thought the same thing. I said, boy, that's shooting yourself in the foot right at the beginning because you didn't need to do that. But okay, now Trump has said something about being able to use our national lands again to get back into the logging part of it. I don't think he hung his hat on this one, but he has mentioned that. And I know that's one of the things that you are pushing for too, is to be able to log off all the timber that's been burnt. Is there going to be a better chance now?
It's one of the three things he and I spoke about when he came to the Reading Airport back in was that late May, early June.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, just real quick, three things. Our veterans' issues are not getting a fair shake from the VA. And he said, gotcha, you know, it isn't right. Secondly, why are we letting all this water just run down the stream out into the ocean when we could be capturing a lot of it and still meeting the actual environmental needs as spelled out under previous law? He said, doesn't make any sense to me. And thirdly, and all those trees up there, they're going to catch fire a little later this summer and burn all summer long. Why aren't we thinning that, using that resource and being good stewards of that? He says, you know, loud and clear, doesn't make any sense to me. So he said, come see me. So I think they're engaged on that, and the people he's putting in place to,
oh yeah,
you know, Ryan Zinke is who he's looking at for Department of Interior. Well, I've sat with Ryan right there in the Resources Committee and talked about this stuff. And so
what's his take on that?
Pardon?
What's his take then on that? Is that we'll get in and clear out ones that have been burnt and to thin out some of this stuff and use it for a biomass facilities?
Absolutely. That's the position that we're going to, you know, line up on. And I think we'll be find a lot of sympathy for that. See, to have an executive branch, to have these agencies actually going in our direction instead of against us. Now, we're still going to run up against environmentalists and lawsuits. Anytime you have a fire and you want to do a salvage after that, they sue over that. Like, really?
I realize that.
A salvage offer? Yeah, like, to take that Siskiyou fire two summers ago up there, 250,000 acres or so, you would think, well, let's get in there and do it and put the forest back on its track to regrowth and all that. And no, they sue over it. They don't want you going out there cutting the moonscape because there might still be an owl out there that is using that. Like, guys, it's 250,000 acres of moonscape, more or less. you know, you can't hardly do anything wrong, but, you know, they managed to delay that for almost a year, so the value of the timber left over from salvage dropped precipitously because you need to salvage that stuff within 6 months or a year at the worst.
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh, yeah.
You know, we have to overcome them. And so I would advocate, too, that we're going to put a giant fund in place to just start fighting lawsuits on that. And one of the amendments we're going to do, the appropriations we're going to keep doing, is that these guys are not going to get a big payoff when they get reimbursed for their lawyer's fees for that. We're going to cap that at a much lower number and then make some cases where they're going to have to pay our lawyer's fees when they lose. So that'd be the kind of incentive to take a lot of the nonsense away on litigation and get this work done. Bottom line, we need to get this work done because if you want to think about the terrorism possibilities here, you know, I hate to even bring it up, but it's just the so many hundreds of thousands of acres out there that are tinderboxes just ready to go. If what we're seeing with all these terror cells in this country, that would be just one more area they could hit and cause complete havoc for months and months. And so we got to get ahead of it and manage this resource. It's the people's resource, and the government has been mismanaging it.
Well, the fact is that's absolutely correct. And I'm just, you know, when I see who he's putting in there, and he's putting in there head of the EPA, a guy that sued it like six times, and the Department of Energy, Rick Perry, he said that was one of the three agencies he wanted to do away with. I can't help but think, and then Trump, what he's been doing with the jobs, you know, and, you know, Ford says, well, we were going to go to Mexico, but small cars aren't selling as well, so we thought we'd have, you know, more capacity up here. No, Ford, it's because he said there's going to be a tax on those cars coming across the border. Do you think that, America ready for Trump?
People at work are, you know, people that want jobs are.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to see a whole bunch of protesters that obviously aren't ready for it, but, you know, I see all these little snow flowers running around college campuses wondering about their safe spaces because an election happened. Like, well, we had a lot of people pretty upset for the last 8 years, too, but we don't whine about it. You just work through it. So, you know, it's ridiculous what the left is saying and doing. Is Trump a controversial figure? Yeah. Has he said some things that could probably have been a little more artfully said? Absolutely. But we will get through it, and he's got really good people surrounding him and coming up on the appointment level that's going to make this thing all work out. Mike Pence met with us the other day, you know, same day as the president rolled up to the Capitol. Pence came and met with us in the basement, too. So what a contrast. I saw the president's big limo roll up as I was walking in. I actually had to use a different entrance because of all the security and all that stuff. I saw his silhouette walking inside the building. It was, you know, still kind of cool with the president.
You know. Oh, you know what? Hey, look, he's the president of the United States. Yeah. You know, that's cool.
Yeah. So, but then here I get to walk in the basement room with Mike Pence, and he's coming in, and he's going to be a members type VP.
Yeah.
Traditionally, the vice president has an office they keep over in the Senate. In the Capitol,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they are the president of the Senate. But Pence told us, you know, I'm a House guy. He was in the House of Representatives for maybe 10 years or whatever it was before he was governor.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I'm also going to have a House office over here on this side if you'll get me one. So he's going to be engaged with us. And that's really good because in my 4 years, the president came to visit the Republican conference one time. And I know he's busy, and I don't expect, you know, a lot, but it would seem like the partnership a president has under the Constitution with the way things work with the House, the Senate, and the White House, that, you know, you'd be up on the Hill a little more often sitting down talking to the guys and gals and saying, here's what we're trying to do, and, you know, building rapport, building a little bit of relationship. You're going to have your differences, but so I see Trump as being the kind of guy he will come visit, and Pence will be here probably all the time.
You know, Trump's a deal maker. You know, I think he needs to get in on some of these things. Okay, now we've got like 12 minutes.
Biden, to his credit,
uh-huh.
He came over here once in a while and stuff, and he's an amicable guy. Yeah, we don't agree again on the world, but nice fellow, and he actually helped hammer out some things because the president is such a stubborn, standoffish guy. Biden was able to help hammer out some stuff because of his relationships. Go ahead, Carl.
Well, I was going to say we got like 12 minutes left, Congressman.
Sure.
And here's the thing: I just have one question, and after that, I want you to tell us what you're envisioning for this year. But the question I have is, what's the biggest, I mean, is there going to be a, like a big surprise coming? Is there something like, oh, wow. You know, you've heard, you know, that Trump wants to do something like he wants to hit that, hit the ground running. And it's just going to be like, wow, that you can share.
I think there's going to be different degrees of wow. But I think, you know, he wants to get an early start on the Supreme Court nomination. And, it, you know, there's a couple names I'm seeing out there, a lady from the upper Midwest and a fellow from the South there. Pryor's one name, and I think her name is Sykes.
Yeah, there's
be the top two.
Yeah, two women.
Pryor has. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, the two women that you know, whose names have come up. One's 46 years old. The other one's like 59, and the 59-year-old is on the, I think, on the appellate court, and she's got a very conservative record. And the other one was the law clerk for Scalia, so.
Yeah, so or maybe it's this fellow Pryor from down south.
Yeah.
So we'll see, because we think that one of the strategies I was reading up on is that he could probably more easily get away with the replacements for Scalia being a lot like Scalia. And then the second one that may come along, if one of the other members decides to drop off, that might be more a tougher battle, because that's going to be a balance changer there. So he may have to play the card of using somebody, you know, that reaches across more demographic lines, you know, maybe being female, maybe along that order. So, I mean, there's a lot of that pressure around here to choose people based on what they look like and not entirely on their credentials. So
I can't believe
there's
that.
Good people of any. You know, I think I always thought you should do this with the blindfold and not worry about color, race, gender, and all that stuff. But that, I suppose that's an idealistic view that...
That went by the wayside a little while ago.
You know, so, but you know that'll be big. But the quick start to Obamacare is that's probably a bit of a wow for people, because the Senate is already moving on it. The House we're putting in place. The important thing we do, pass a budget, and then that allows the budget reconciliation process to come into place, because we can pass just a straight bill, but it's more important we have the vehicle. The budget reconciliation, because we have to work with the Senate on that, okay? We have to get a 51-vote vehicle that the Senate can do. Otherwise, we're kind of spinning our wheels. So if you don't see us doing a bill, well, where's that repeal? How come you guys are fooling around with the budget? Because the budget is the vehicle with budget reconciliation to put the Obamacare repeal into that process so it will work in the Senate. So see, there's a several-step, you know, four or five chess moves at a time deal. So, you know, don't believe all the emails that are circulating around there say, oh, Republicans are wasting time and all this and that. We got some pretty smart people here that do know that it's a several-step process, and we want to get it right. So that's why we are being careful.
Well, you know, Mathis is now, well, will be probably sick, deaf. I can't imagine.
Everybody loves him. Mad Dog.
Mad Dog. Yeah. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, the it's just all these sayings about him. But and I've served under his command, and he's – I tell you what, Marines love this guy. He's going to change, I think, the Department of Defense. Now, Trump's already said he wants to put money into the Department of Defense, you know, notwithstanding this, you know, the nuclear buildup and all that, to bring in more equipment and all these things. That's – you know, the Department of Defense is already getting – I don't know if it's a significant portion of the budget, but it's getting a good part. Is this build up something that Congress looks like they can support?
The Republican Congress is very supportive, but we're very gravely concerned about the way our Navy, for example, the number of ships less than we had in World War II. Pretty soon, the depletion of the number in our standing army is down, so I don't see the world being safer than it has been in a long time. We got a lot of big problems around the world, and so preparedness prevents us from having to use them. So we need to have the nuclear arsenal updated, ready to go, the size of military and equipment for that. But also we need to have the confidence, instill the confidence in those that want to be part of the military. I mean, the way our officers have been run out of there that believe in the old way instead of the new... whatever the priorities are, you know, we want them to come back. We want them to stay in.
You mean the social engineering part of the military?
Yeah, we don't need a welcome wagon military. We need one that's a war wagon, okay?
Hello. So
that's its job. And so if we can, as strong as it can be, makes it for a better deterrent.
Absolutely.
And nobody wants to send our young people over into this stuff, but into these conflicts. Who really, really wants that? But the better we project, the more we don't have to, and the more, you know, our ally Israel, it looks like they're going to survive the Obama era here. But that UN resolution here, by the way, which we passed legislation to rebuke that this week as well, that we're sending those signals back to Israel and PM Netanyahu, like, look, we're on your side. Just hang in there for 14 more days, and we're going to get through this thing.
Will Obama pardon Hillary?
She hasn't been charged in anything yet, so I don't know if you can do a preemptive pardon.
Well,
didn't they
do that for Nixon?
That's a long time ago, Carl.
Okay, that's right. It's before your time. Okay, the other he was
being rung up on some stuff at the time there. So I think, you know, and in that situation, I think Ford, you know, again, he ripped the Band-Aid off the wound and just got it done, and everybody moved on. So Hillary, I guess, is 18 minutes worth of erased tapes versus the stuff Hillary's done with that foundation and selling uranium to the Russians and who all knows what. You know, and I think Trump was right to say, look, we're going to leave that to other people. That's not my focus right now.
Yeah.
You know, people, oh, my gosh, he's
right.
Hillary off the
he's right.
No,
no,
it's up
right.
to other people to do. The president should be focused on these things. Let his Department of Justice, when they're in place, do their job and investigate what is there and do appropriately. So.
Yeah, you know, the other thing, too, you know, it's a moving on thing. However, if there are things she's done, she ought to get, you know, slapped, her finger, you know, fingers slapped at least. Okay, what's the main thing you're going to start working on? I mean, you've already started, but what's the big thing you want to push through for you? For us out here.
The committee work focuses on natural resources, agriculture, and I expect to be appointed to the transportation committee. And so those are important things that for our type of economy in Northern California that we can exert ourselves on. So it still comes back to water storage, our highway infrastructure, so we can move raw materials and finished products in and out of our region and you know, make a living off of it. But also decoupling the what these regulatory agencies have been doing to us is hugely important as well. So Army Corps of Engineers and EPA. And so we're going to be right in the middle on that, having oversight and pulling back the regulations as much as we can. We're going to be talking to the White House, like, here's how BLM affects what's going on in Eastern California. Here's what Army Corps is doing to make it where you can't even use your land the way you see fit. Here's what the EPA is doing on water that makes the water all, you know, I mean, here at the same time as they're keeping water in Shasta through the end of the summer and not allowing it to be used by people for crops or manufacturing or whatever. At the same time, Sally Jewell, the Interior Secretary, comes out and says, oh, we want to buy 250,000 acre feet to flush it out the Delta for the Delta smelt. When they started all this water flushing business back in 1992, taking other people's water, we actually had more smelt then than we have now after 20 plus years of these measures. It hasn't fixed anything. And so there isn't any science behind more water. So it's getting these, you know, getting good people appointed to the head of these agencies and getting them confirmed will be a giant leap for mankind for us. And so we'll keep pointing out what kind of help we need on these agencies working for us. Oh. And so some of it looks like legislation. Some of it will be appropriations amendments to stop funding them. We'll be working on that. We've had carried several of those already. Now we think we can actually get them through.
Okay.
And,
I've got 2 minutes, and one question is, of course, is California has said they want to secede.
If the western 15 or 18 counties where all the craziness comes from wants to go ahead and drop out,
will you push that?
I'm not going to cry over it. So,
okay.
You know, they'll probably get invaded by China immediately as soon as they become their own country. But, you know, we can put up our own wall, I suppose. I'm being facetious
of
here,
course,
again, Carl.
Of course.
I mean, the Jefferson people ought to be kind of excited about that, because instead of having to go through the process of getting a number 51 state and, you know, getting the approval of this state legislature and put it through Congress and all the politics of that, the remainder of California, you know, if part of it wants to leave, just let that part leave, and then the part that still wants to be in the United States, the eastern 35 counties or whatever, let that just be old California and let it remain number state number 50, and let the new part go do its thing. You know, I mean, the new country, if that's what, you know. Again, all this is way out there.
Of course. Right? I just had to throw that one in. Congressman LaMalfa, Happy New Year. So and
they're acting like their own country. They're acting like their own.
Gosh,
I mean, these
it's
guys
crazy here.
They're hiring Eric Holder down in Sacramento. They said they'll be fighting in the streets if people do something against illegal immigration. Which law are they obeying? Which constitution did they swore to uphold when the state legislature was put in place? I mean, it's just astounding to me. The language, the rhetoric, and the policy they're putting in down there. So it's going to be some tough sledding here, because there's people that believe that California in that legislature should be deeded back to what used to be Mexico or something. So it's going to be quite a battle.
Oh, it's great living here. Oh, you know that. You live here, kind of. So
yeah, every time the plane lands, I wonder what else they've done.
Oh,
so,
no.
Hey, today at 1 p.m. our time, they're going to start counting the electoral votes on the House floor, and that'll be very interesting here. So watch for that on C-SPAN.
Okay.
Because all the states have already done their thing, and they've sent them in, and they'll open up the states' packages and go through those. And I wonder what kind of tricks the Democrats are going to have for that. Like, are they going to have a protest or a sit-in or who knows what? So, you know, it might be interesting hijinks there. But I'm going to be on the floor watching that, too. That's a pretty historic thing,
right,
especially after these last 8 years. So tune in. See what happens.
Okay. Hey,